So, thank you. That was probably the most interesting and creative icebreaker I've ever seen. Also the most frustrating. But it was, yeah, I like that. It was all from Philippians, which is what we're looking at this weekend. So, our theme, as you know, is joy. And people often ask me, do I enjoy being a missionary? Do I enjoy living in Taiwan? And one of the things that actually gives me the most joy in Taiwan, probably the number one thing, is the church we go to in Taiwan. It's a quite unusual church. It's called Taipei Shop Workers Church. And it was started to reach people who work in the service industry. So in restaurants, hairdressers, department stores, and so on. So a lot of the church is built around activities that start at 10 p.m. at night. So I'm often heading out of home a 9:45 to go and preach at the evening service. Because, you know, if you know Asia, the shops stay open until late. So it's after 10 when people in that industry are free to meet. But it's a very interesting church because almost everyone at the church is a first-generation Christian. Almost all of them, except the kids, came from families where they worshipped idols and their ancestors. And yet they have become Christians for a whole range of different reasons. And one of the reasons I have great joy in that church is looking at the lives of those people who came from not knowing Christ and not having hope and seeing the way God has been working in their lives. Most of them are fairly, I think it's a bit noisy, fairly working class, and they come often from broken families. We had one lady, Elise, who came looking for a safe place to live because her husband had been beating her. And she came with a small baby, and the church gave her a place to live. She later on, after she became a Christian, set up a ministry of doing that for other women. And so our church now runs a number of dormitories to provide safe housing for people fleeing domestic violence or others who can't live with their family. And so what gives me great joy is looking at these people and just seeing how God has transformed their lives. And it's very difficult. They come with a lot of baggage, a lot of issues, there's fights, there's ups and downs, and yet seeing Christ in our midst. And we're going to be talking this weekend about joy in the church. Do we have joy in one another like that? Do we rejoice as we look at one another and see what God is doing in our lives? And so we're going to be thinking about having joy in God, but also joy in the fellowship we share with one another. And so we're going to see three themes come up again and again this weekend. Joy, the gospel, because the gospel is the source of joy, but also joy together. That joy is not just me and God, but it's shared with one another. And the book of Philippians, we're going to look at chapters 1, 2, and 3 in three talks, but there's four chapters, and we don't have a time for that, so I'm going to very briefly look at a couple of verses in chapter 4 tonight as an introduction to our theme. Now, Paul in the book spends about half his time teaching and about the other half sharing his testimony. And if you turn with me, if you have your Bibles there or your phone or however you're looking, turn with me to chapter 4. And chapter 4, is that annoying for you? It's sort of making a lot of this. I don't know if we can fix that. It's very loud, maybe. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 4, very well-known verse. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And so one of the things that comes up again and again that we'll see this weekend is we are told to rejoice in the Lord. And notice, the first thing here is it's a command, which means it's something we have to choose to do. Joy doesn't just happen. We're commanded to do it. We can do it. And tomorrow morning, if you look at the devotion material, Paul goes on to explain some of the things we can do to help us rejoice in the Lord. But it's not just a command. It's an important command. Even in this one verse, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then what does he say? I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. And in fact, he says it again in other parts of the book. Rejoicing in the Lord is a command. That's obviously an urgent and important command. And it's not occasional. He says, do it always. It's to be a joy that doesn't get influenced by how we're feeling or our circumstances. But it's something that we can have in all situations. How can that be? We'll be thinking about that. But the key is all already here. It's rejoice in the Lord. That the source of joy comes from the Lord Jesus. It's because of him, it's in him. And so joy in the Lord, joy in God, whatever our theme is something that we can have and we must have because we're commanded to have it. You know, as Christians, we're told to trust the Lord, we're told to love the Lord, we're told to obey the Lord. We are also commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And so I need to stop and think, do I actually rejoice in God, in the Lord Jesus, and what he's done for me? So that's one thing we'll be looking at. The other thing is that Paul's joy doesn't just come from the Lord, but it comes from the other Christians. And he says this again and again to the Philippians. And we see an example of that also in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10, part of his testimony, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. So notice, I rejoice in the Lord, but it has a reason. And the reason is because of what they've done. Now the situation is he's in prison and they've sent him money because in those days you needed money to be able to buy food or clothes or whatever. But he goes on to explain that he's not actually joyful simply because he can eat. Because in verse 11, he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He's on the one hand, he says, I'm joyful because of what you've done. He says, but I didn't really need it after all. I don't really need to eat if I'm hungry or I'm full, if I'm warm or I'm cold, if I have, if I don't have, doesn't matter. So what does he mean? Why does he have joy? It's not because of the money he's received. He goes on in verse 17 and says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Why he's rejoicing is he sees their love for Jesus in their concern for him. He's rejoicing in the fact that they have shown their commitment and their faithfulness to the gospel. And so his joy isn't the money. His joy is seeing how God is at work in their lives. And he says this again and again in the book, that his joy comes from seeing them stand firm in the Lord. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I rejoice in the Lord. And I do it also because of you. And so we see two things. One, we can be joyful in God and in God alone. And yet our joy is increased when we share it with one another. Our joy is increased through the fellowship and partnership we have with one another. And so what we're going to be thinking about this weekend is two questions. Do you rejoice in the Lord? And secondly, do you rejoice in what God is doing in one another's lives? Do we rejoice in God's work in my own life? And do we share that joy as we see what God is doing in your church, in your fellowship, amongst your Christian brothers and sisters? And I think it's key that we have this joy because our willingness to be committed to God comes from the fact that it brings us joy. If something gives you joy, like I said, scuba diving, I'd love it. If I had the time and money, I'd do it all the time because I enjoy it, and so I'd be committed to do it. If you have a hobby and interest, you're committed. If we have joy in the Lord, then we will be committed to the Lord. If we have joy in one another, then we will be committed to investing in one another's lives. And so these are the themes we're going to be thinking about this weekend. Joy in the gospel and joy in our fellowship or our partnership in the gospel. So that's all I'm going to say today. That really sums up what we're going to be looking at. And these verses we've looked at in chapter 4, we'll see these themes built up in more detail in the first three chapters. So we're going to give you just a few minutes now. I think it's about 10 minutes just to gather. Do people just gather wherever they want? How is that going to work? Yeah? Just to discuss two things. What brings you joy? And you don't have to be super spiritual about this. It can be anything at all, right? Just what brings you joy? What do you enjoy? What makes you really joyful and happy and gives you a sense of contentment? I think that's another word that Paul uses, contentment. I think it's closely tied in with joy. So what brings you joy? And the second thing is, why do we often not rejoice in the Lord or in one another? Why do we often lack that sort of joy that Paul is telling us that we should have and that he has? Okay, so two things. What does bring you joy? And why is our joy often not in God or in one another? So this is just time to share and be reflecting on those questions before we come back tomorrow and look at them in more depth. Okay, that's all I've got for you tonight. It's very short and brief. But please break into, how do you want to do it? Just a few people? Just you row a few people where you are and discuss those two questions.